passage that Vern read earlier helps us focus our minds on what we've been seeing in God's Word over the last few Sundays. We began with an overlook of why does the church exist? And there are many answers and facets to that question. But ultimately, we see that it's through the church that the multifaceted, manifold wisdom of God will be made known, not just to the world, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And praise God, we get to have a part of that. Through this church, though, it just doesn't operate any old way it sees fit. God clearly is a God of order, not of chaos. And he's given a particular order that a church ought to be at least assembled and put together so that it can indeed display that manifold wisdom of God. In other words, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, I'm writing to you so that one might know how you ought to behave in the church, the household of God, the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. If we want to be a pillar and buttress of the truth, we have to follow God's will and God's order as a church. Otherwise, we aren't a pillar and the buttress won't support. And what we saw then is that God's design for part of that order within the church is leadership called elders or under-shepherds or overseers or even pastors, if you will. The words are all interchangeable in the New Testament. Last week, then, we saw who can be an elder, who is qualified to serve in this grand position. And we looked at those qualifications. And this morning, I'm going to ask one more question about elders, because I think some of you are asking it in your minds. I know that because many of you have asked me, okay, so you're talking about elders. What do elders do? So as we look to God's Word this morning, let's come to Him in prayer and ask Him to show us clearly through His Word what it is that we are to do. Father, it is such a joy and a delight to sit under your teaching of your word. And you have given me this wonderful privilege of being able to open it up and let your Holy Spirit's light shine as I seek to expose it, to explain it. Assist me in that task. Assist all of us to have ears that hear and hearts that are soft and pliable to do your will, so that that way you might receive all the glory as your great wisdom is put on display for so many to see. This is our great need and our great desire. In Christ's name, amen. A little over 10 years ago, there was a news report that came out of a very small village near Aksum, Turkey. The village had hired a shepherd to tend all of the villagers' sheep that they owned, and he was out in a mountainous region with this great flock of sheep. When one sheep, in particular, began running around and got too near the edge of a very steep cliff and went over the edge. And sheep, being sheep, thought they should follow. And one after another, the sheep began to run pell-mell over the edge of this cliff, falling to their deaths. By the time it was over, 450 sheep had died in this bizarre tragedy. If there was anything good to come out of it, is that that pile that died first provided a cushion so that over 1,500 still survived it. God knew what he was doing when he called us sheep. His people are his sheep. We need instruction and leading and feeding and protection. And each local gathered assembly of God's people, his sheep, is really a flock of sheep. We are a flock of his sheep. And each flock needs those under-shepherds under Christ's headship who are entrusted to it, to love it and care for it, and they look to those elders, those overseers and shepherds to do just that. So as we take a final look this morning at this role of elders in the local church, we've seen the overarching need for elders in a household of God that is put in order. We have seen that even as Titus was told by Paul to remain there in Crete so that you might put into order that which needs to be finished, that we have yet to finish the work here. There's still things to be put into order. And then we saw who can be those elders by their qualifications. But what do elders do? I want us to think on this morning, looking to God's Word, to see primarily four great tasks that the elders of a church are called upon to carry out. Because elders are called to care for the sheep of Jesus Christ's flock in each one of these ways. The first primary task of the elder is this. The shepherds must know the sheep. It's the most fundamental relationship that sheep have is with their shepherd, their Lord. As God said in Exodus, I will take you to be my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 100, know that the Lord, he is God, is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And as under-shepherds of Jesus Christ, elders must know their sheep, who they are responsible to care for, who they have been charged to oversee. This means that the shepherd will develop a good relationship with the sheep entrusted to him. For the elders of a local church, this is absolutely essential and fundamental. If you don't know who the elders would be, and if they don't know you, things will go badly from there. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So the elders, like Jesus, need to be able to identify who the sheep are. This means that they should know and have heard a sheep's profession of faith that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the one who died to save them from their sins on that cross, who rose again to give them that power of new life, the gift of eternal life, and adopts them into the very family of God. As under-shepherds, the elders need to be asking, which are the sheep and which are not those entrusted to our care? Because this will enable them to identify those that they really are given charge to care for. Jesus said that he has died for his sheep. They've heard his voice. So that means each sheep then, and hearing his voice, has repented of their sins. They've turned from that. And they've looked to Christ. They've believed upon his name. They've received him. And have given that right to be called children of God, even sheep, if you will. So how does an elder know all this? They ask. When someone comes, when you come to me or one of our existing deacons and say, I'd like to become a member, one of the questions we're going to ask you is, first of all, what is the gospel? Give it to me in as succinct a manner as possible. And then how has that been made real in your life through Jesus Christ? And we hear your testimony. The congregation then, when they come together at a meeting, we see you presented, we hear your profession of faith, and we affirm that profession, and now you belong. Not just to all of us, but you belong under those elders' care. You heard Vern read from 1 Peter 5, where he says those elders are not to be domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Those who are the elders in charge over you. That means you've been entrusted to a group of men who are put into this position, this office, if you will. This means that when we, the people known as Albion, eventually come about to have elders here, each one of you will be under a particular elder's care. They will be responsible to watch over you, and then all of us together watching over the whole flock. Which again means they need to know you personally. They need to know you well. As God has blessed us and Albion has continued to grow, if you just simply look in our church directory, there are 215 faces and names. I do my best to know your names and your faces, but I do not know all of you as well as I would like. That's why we must have a plurality of elders and not just one. So what does all of this knowing mean? Well, it means that at times there's going to be particular inspections. Oh, I went too far. Okay, I'll have to stop there. And the problem is, now I can't get back to my notes. So hang on, please. I'll get there. Come back. There we go. Sorry. This means there will be frequent inspections of the flock. The shepherds need to go out among the sheep and see how they're doing. In Acts 20:28, Paul said, even as Vern read, pay careful attention to yourselves, he's talking to those elders from the church at Ephesus, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You need this kind of care and inspecting, and because the elders are responsible. God himself has called them to do this great task. So this means that each one who is a member of Albion is assigned to a particular elder so that they may watch over you and know you. This also means that they must be visibly caring for you. Paul would go on to tell those elders from Ephesus, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish every one of you with tears. The question should be for you as the sheep known as Albion, how do you know your deacons, your leaders now, or your elders, Lord willing, care? Sheep have a very distinct smell. Elders, pastors, overseers need to smell like sheep. That's how you know they care. They are out there among you and with you and visiting with you and praying with you. That's how they can get to know you and you get to know them. Primarily, the elders are called to keep Christ ever before you, even through their example of life. And at times, the sheep are going to need a diagnosis. Sometimes they'll sense that something's not quite right and the elders need to diagnose what's the problem. And Paul said this again to those very same elders. He said, you know how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. You, the sheep of God's pasture, the flock known as Albion, need the word of God. You need it publicly, like this on a Lord's Day morning, but you also need it personally in your home or a visit at work or some other place. In this way, each particular elder can help diagnose your spiritual health. And if you are struggling or have issues or problems, they can help to address that with the Word of God. Elders who are to be able to teach, handle the Word of God correctly, should help you apply it through their counsel and through their advice. For those of you who don't like spiders, thank goodness you're not up here. What would all of this knowing of the sheep really look like? As we move forward to, Lord willing, establish elders here at Albion, it's primarily a contacting ministry. They visit in your homes. They call you on your phone. They text you back and forth. They send you an email. They may even write you a handwritten note. But what they're seeking to do is keep you close to Christ and to one another as a body of believers so you don't wander off a cliff and lead others astray either. In many ways, the elders are the CEOs of the church. And I don't mean by that what you think I mean. The elders are the chief encouragement officers seeking to build up the body of Christ. So, the shepherds must know the sheep. But the second component of this effective elder ministry is this. The shepherd must feed the sheep. The shepherds must feed the sheep. When elders know their members, they can help to feed them properly. I'm amazed at the kinds of nutritional instruction that goes into anyone who's raising any kind of livestock anymore. I grew up where they just used to give them a bucket full of corn. Now it's mixed with nutrients and all sorts of other ingredients. God said through his servant Ezekiel, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in the good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. God knows how to feed us best, and he entrusts this feeding now to those under the headship of Christ called elders. We know that glorious shepherd from the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because we are getting fed well. Feeding of this flock is largely word-centered, word-driven. Jesus, in restoring Peter, gives him this charge 2 out of the 3 times. Peter, do you love me? feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So that means we must preach the word. This is the public ministry of the word. The elders of a church are to ensure that this takes place, largely through keeping me the primary preaching elder, because I would be considered an elder of equals, keeping me keep on track with the word of God. Elders will make sure that it's the word and the gospel that are being proclaimed from this sacred desk. Elders hold the preaching elder to expositional preaching. Elders hold up the authority and the sufficiency of God's holy word through this kind of preaching and teaching. The elders help keep the preacher, me, from just pursuing my favorite topics and hobby horses. They're going to make sure that I don't skip the hard parts because they're, well, hard. So here I go, wading into Revelation this fall. This helps build up the church because we're hearing God's word, not mine, not man's. Praise God for that. That's the preaching of the word. But the elders feed the sheep by using the word elsewhere, also out of this pulpit or away from a teacher's podium, if you will. It's through their life of sharing with you that informal feeding takes place. This means that an elder should not only be able to teach, but he should be continually learning and knowing how to speak Scripture into various life situations. This doesn't need to be specialized training, although it certainly could be. But largely, this is going to come from the overflow of an elder's heart as they are soaking and bathing in the Word of God itself. And as I stated, this means that they must know you and how to take God's Word and speak it into your particular circumstance or situation, whether it's to encourage you or help you express thanksgiving to God or to counsel you or give you some guidance through advice. This also means you need to know who your shepherds are. You need to make sure you know who the elders will be overseeing you because you need to witness their lives. You were told in Hebrews 13 to imitate their faith. You need to heed their words of instruction, teaching, and guidance. So the elders must know the sheep and the shepherds must feed the sheep, but they are also to lead the sheep. The shepherds must lead the sheep. In Psalm 78, God says this, "Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock." And again, that great shepherd of Psalm 23, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When you as the sheep, whether individually or as a family or even as a group, need direction or guidance or advice or help, the elders are to lead you in that process. And God has always been faithful in doing that with his sheep, with his people. Always. God has never been unfaithful. If he were, he would prove not to be God. And the elders are to, Ephesians 5:1, imitate God, especially in this role of overseeing a whole church, a whole congregation. That's why that word overseer is interchangeable with that of elder and pastor. So what does this leading look like? Well, it means leading the whole flock. Maybe leadership is the first thing that comes to many of your minds when you hear that term elder, because it is one of the primary responsibilities. That means an elder humbly serves you in this role, and that's absolutely vital to a healthy church. A church cannot be healthy either if it doesn't have elders or if they are arrogantly trying to subjugate you. Edmund Clowney, professor of New Testament at one time at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, said this, "The church is called to serve God in three ways, to serve him directly in worship, to serve the saints in nurture and instruction, and to serve the world in witness." Worship, instruction, and witness. And it's the elders of a local church who need to give clear biblical oversight to those three areas so the church is making known the manifold wisdom of God. If they are the main focal points of the church, the elders must oversee those areas. This doesn't mean the elders are the only ones doing the ministry, mind you. It does mean they provide oversight. Now ask, are the various ministry arms of Albion, are the trustees or the Christian educators or the women or the men, are they on track with our overall vision as a church? And the elders help provide accountability to that end. They'd find out how each of those individual ministries is doing at fulfilling their purpose, at fulfilling our overall purpose. And the elders then build up. They get many people involved in those. And in a way, they are helping out that pastor-teacher from Ephesians 4:11 fulfill all of that responsibility to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You are called to do the work of ministry. We are called to help equip you and get you into those positions by which you can do that very thing. So the elders are called to lead all of you together, but they also will be leading you as individuals or as families. Again, 1 Peter 5:3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The most important function that an elder really fulfills in the life of a church is being an example of Jesus Christ himself. So much so that you see that man in that position, you say, I will so gladly follow him because he is so passionately pursuing Jesus Christ. To fail at that particular task, I don't care how adept you are at organization, at administration, at project management. If you fail at being an example of Jesus Christ, not only do you fail as an elder, but you fail the church in Jesus himself. Instead, every single elder ought to strive, along with the Apostle Paul, to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's not a bold, arrogant statement. That's absolute humble confidence in who Christ is and knowing my heart burns with the zeal to be like Christ. Now, we looked at some of those qualifications last week in 1 Timothy 3. We didn't even get to Titus chapter 1. But we heard those qualifications, and as I will repeat yet again, all of those are characteristics of every single Christian. All of you should be living out those qualities and character traits. Because it's from you, as the congregation, you will see these men who want to find an avenue to serve you, and God places on their heart a desire to do that as an elder. And you see them doing and living out these qualities, and you will gladly follow them as they lead you and serve you as Christ does. And so you affirm them, and you appoint them, and they lead and you follow. Continue to think of it this way, even as we saw a couple of Sundays ago. Christ is the head over you and his church. And the elder's personal walk with Christ comes in under that headship. And under that headship comes the elder's shepherding of his own household, doing so as Christ would. And then finally, under all of that headship and shepherding comes the shepherding of the whole congregation, and at times you individually or as family. So as we seek to establish that office as well as get those men appointed to those positions, you need to make sure that they are leading you with this humble Christ-like authority of oversight in service, that they lead out of hearts filled with the Spirit of Christ. So an elder, the shepherds, must know their sheep, feed their sheep, lead their sheep, but they must also fulfill this fourth major responsibility that the shepherds must protect the sheep. If the last 2 years have taught us nothing else, they have taught us and revealed so clearly that this land bows to very many idols of man's own choosing and making, one of which I will simply call safetyism. I think it's one of the biggest idols of all right now. Dangers are everywhere, and we need somebody else to take responsibility to keep us safe. That's the primary mantra of this idolic religion called safetyism. The problem is, safetyism as a god, little g, can neither serve or protect any of us. You and I, as believers and followers in Jesus Christ, know that he is the unshakable rock that we must run to. He is the Lord is that unmovable foundation upon which we must stand. Again, I'll come back to that glorious picture of the shepherd in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And Christ's under-shepherds, those overseers, those elders, are called upon to help carry out this task on earth. I said it and I'll say it again. God knew what he was doing when he called us sheep. Because so oftentimes we are helpless and in need of protection. So how do the elders do this? Well, you see it there through public exhortation and admonition. Prophet Ezekiel, in that same passage before he talked about God leading them up on the mountains, these glorious pastures, had to condemn the current shepherds, the leaders of the people of Israel. In Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts." Elders are to help protect the sheep. Even as Jesus did, he said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." False shepherds, weak shepherds, they endanger, they do not protect. They expose us to no end of different doctrines and falsehoods and teachings. Elders are to provide protection for all of the flock that's based upon exhortation and admonition. Exhortation is that strong encouragement helps build you up. Admonition is that staff of the shepherd that sometimes gets you back in line, keeps you in the flock, corrects you when you need it. Paul, again, knew that this was coming, and he plead with those elders at Ephesus. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." This means elders are to be vigilant. They must have their eyes and ears open so that they can pick up on that which is false and different, both from within, as Paul said, as well as from without. And then after that, the elders must have their mouth open with the word of God to instruct, but also to reprove and correct and teach in righteousness. They teach the truth. They point out false teaching. They're not afraid at times to name the false teachers so that you would avoid them when you're not gathered here. They are like another assistant shepherd that's standing there at the edge of the cliff, seeing this lone sheep run pell-mell towards the edge to his doom, and he heads him off, thus sparing the whole flock. Leading by example of Jesus Christ from the Word of God comes from the heart, a heart that loves the Good Shepherd and his sheep. And so the elders will seek to protect you from those different doctrines. They'll give themselves to studying the Word of God, so when they hear something that's not of it but might sound close, they'll know and they'll warn and they'll keep you from it. Today that would mean keeping you from such things as cheap grace and easy believism or legalism. You've got your checklist to follow. Good, did all those. I'm good. I'm going to get in. Or even the false views of Jesus and an empty, vacuous gospel that will not save. They're to warn you, admonish you against materialism and safetyism and sensuality and so many other things. They do that publicly through their preaching and teaching. But the most effective means of this kind of protection, I believe, is by watching over your life. Out of a love for you and of Jesus Christ, wanting what's best for you, God's will to be done, They'll not only be aware of your names and the family you belong to, but they will learn, what state are you in? They'll ask a question that Kyle and I ask each other often. How's your soul? How's your soul in the Lord doing right now? Are you thankful? Or are you discouraged? Are you uplifted? Or are you at that point of despair and needing building up? What temptations do you face most often as a Christian? What are the sins that so easily entangle you? And how can we pray for you and even help you by coming alongside you in this fight for faith? And if the sheep go astray, if they go out from us, the elders seek to bring them back if we know that they are true sheep. What do you think, Jesus said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. And I'll stress it again, this is why membership is so vitally important in a local gathered assembly. We ought never to take it lightly and keep it at arm's length. The elders are put in charge of the sheep. And how do we know who the sheep are unless we hear your profession of faith, your testimony of life, and that gets affirmed as the members of a church? If you're not a member, how do we know if you're genuinely a sheep? I'm sure that for many of you who aren't members, we may have heard your testimony. Well, then my question is, why do you want to remain unclaimed and unconnected and unbelonged? Why do you just want to look like a sheep and not be a real sheep of a flock? Being a member of a local gathered assembly is a matter for your own protection. And the elders have been given charge over those who are members. It's so important. So elders must know and feed and lead and protect the sheep. Again, to repeat Jesus' words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Don't ever mistake that. Before he ascended into heaven, he gathered with his disciples. One of them was Peter. We all know what Peter did in betraying Jesus three times, denying him three times. So Jesus speaks to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my lambs. Peter's probably nodding. Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I do. Tend my sheep. Peter's still nodding, wondering, where is he going with this? Jesus asks him one more time, Peter, do you love me more than these, even all of these others? And he said, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my sheep. We need godly under-shepherd elders like that here at Albion so that we can put into order that which yet remains, so that we can grow even stronger than we are as a body of Christ into the maturity, the full stature of Jesus himself. So, pray. Pray, people of Albion, for our current leadership as we seek the best path forward from here. Pray that we would be given the Holy Spirit's discernment into these matters from the Word, that Christ would indeed guide us as that great shepherd that he is, and that God's will would be done, and we would know that it is his wisdom, not just our own schemes and plans. Then you pray for one another that your hearts would remain ready and waiting for this to happen so that we can see finished that which is yet unfinished. And then to see how God keeps putting into order this household of God that's known as Albion, Evangelical Free Church. How we are the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth to his everlasting glory. Would you do that even now as I pray? Father, we delight so often in that picture of you as our shepherd. And we don't hesitate at that moment to have you call us sheep, and we accept that. We want that. We love to know that you are our shepherd. But Father, in your will and grand order of what churches should look like, you have given us this charge to have under shepherds, under Christ, who emulate him so that the sheep would come to look more and more like him as well. So Father, help us. Help lead us and guide us in this. Help us to be wise and prudent, and help us to be receptive to the glorious truth that you have for us. Because Father, above all things, we want your manifold wisdom to be proclaimed, not just to those around us, but to those rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, that they rejoice at seeing lost, saved, and sinners justified, and the saints glorifying your name through service and worship. Do all this here, we pray, O Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.